Now, yeah, there are ripples of excitement here in the studio because Kevin Curran, a reader in computer science at the University of Ulster, is here for his first ever paper review. Good morning to you.
Morning.
You're no stranger to the studio, of course, but not in this role.
No. Morning,
so,
Kevin.
How did you get on with this big pile of papers in front of you?
That's fine. Well, the first thing I thought, I'd picked up a paper from the archives because the headline was, in the Northwest Telegraph, "Keeping it in the family, MLA pays wife and children." So it turns out that Stormont expenses are in the spotlight again after it emerges that the well-known MLA, Robin Newton, employs his wife Carol as office manager and his son Adam as researcher, and are currently paid a total of £60,831 a year. But as we know, that the Assembly rules back in 2009 were toughened to require all MLA family members receiving payments to be declared, and monies to his daughters and company stopped. But again, this is prompting calls for tightening up the rules of Stormont. But me, for one, I was certain that all this has stopped, that you just couldn't really employ a family member in your... Cause it was so, again, I just thought this is very interesting, you know, and something to be examined. But again, when I looked at the Derry Journal as well, I see that Sinn Féin, Bridget Meehan, it looks likely to replace Lynn Fleming on Derry City Council.
That's right, there's a co-option pending, isn't there? Yeah.
Exactly, and I felt quite old because I've known Bridget for 20-something years. I went to college with Bridget. But again, it's good to see someone with a PhD being elected to public office. So. But again, the other one that caught me on the front page of the Times was, it says, one in six airline pilots have woken up to find their co-pilot asleep. So I apologise if you're on your way to the airport this morning, but
I think this followed from yesterday where there was a case where the pilot and co-pilot were both asleep.
They were both asleep and the thing was going on autopilot, which was not at all reassuring, I must say.
They didn't reveal when it happened or what flight they were on, which is alarming.
Yeah, and they can't reveal the airlines because there's this policy whereby to prevent airlines covering up future incidents, that they, you know, that they can guaranteed, you know, that you're anonymous when you report these things, which, again, I can live with, you know, as long as, you know, I mean, there's nothing like the, you know, airline safety, really, and the procedures that they have, and, you know, air crash investigations, you know, how clever they are.
Yeah.
Strangely enough, I'm not a great flyer myself, and what's really helped me over the years is to watch every single episode of Air Crash Investigation.
Oh.
Yeah, I know it sounds stupid, but actually, when you start to watch them, you realise that there's so many factors involved and how safe airline flying is. And it sounds a strange thing, but it really
has
helped.
That's strange therapy.
I would say that's a doctor's approach, a PhD holder's approach to anxiety.
A lot of analysis there.
Again, in the Times, the other thing that caught me was the smuggling. We're in India, four men were trying to board a plane and they were walking very funny. And it turns out that they were carrying up to 4 kilos of gold inside their stomachs. They're flying from Colombo to Mumbai. And after being given laxatives, one guy had 15 gold biscuits in his digestive tract. And there's some gold yet to come out of the other guys. So, you know, I would be careful buying your gold in the near future. But it turns out the gold is very, very big in India. And, you know, and it's come up to season where gifts are being given. And actually, the Indian government have a problem with gold. And it's affecting the price of rupees, you know, the rupee. Because of all this, you know, illegal activity going on, which they can't tax.
But Indian women wear the most stunning gold jewellery, so that must be something to do with it, maybe, you know. But that's fascinating. Yeah, okay.
I've never heard it.
Yep.
Again, and the other thing that struck me, you know, as you might know, that Jose Mourinho is probably, arguably, the most famous manager in world football. And we all know he took over the Chelsea job there just, you know, a few months ago. And obviously, when he was taking it over, he said, you know, there was no club in the world he would like to manage more than Chelsea. But it turns out that there's been a book just released saying that Mourinho actually was crying and really enraged when he was passed over for the Man United job. Now, that's very interesting for us who've been given this different story, whether it's got any legs or not, but it was interesting to see. And again, sorry, the other thing again, for most people, that the most famous boxer on the planet Earth for the last 25 years has been Mike Tyson. But some people will not know that the most famous boxer at the moment is a guy called Floyd Mayweather in the United States, and he's had 45 fights. He's had 45 victories. Just for six fights there lately, he's $250 million.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the guys who's been credited with bringing back, as we all grew up and when we were younger, the midnight, well, at 2 o'clock in the morning boxing fights that we all stayed up for. But in the last number of years, it's really been fragmented.
But interesting to note that a lot of people might not know of him because it's pay-per-view now, and therefore the audience is cut back a lot.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, you know, you need to be subscribing to satellite. And then, of course, the fights, most of his fights are in, you know, in the United States, and they're, you know, they're ungodly hour when it comes to.
Okay. Well, Kevin, we've been guillotined by the producer, but we'll have you back after 8 o'clock. Thank you very much indeed. That was thoroughly entertaining there.
Well,
brings the time to 21 minutes past 8 o'clock. Well, a County Down woman. Oh, apologies, and we're told there is a little shift in proceedings here, and Kevin Curran is back with the papers right in front of me. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Morning, Jenny. Fine.
For your first time, Kevin, to do the papers, you've done pretty well the last time, so the pressure's on to get it right this time.
Well, I noticed in the Daily Mail today that says now leaving, how leaving your partner at home helps you drive safely. A third of passengers say spouse is most distracting passenger. Well, I could have told them that. I saved the research study. And again, drivers are most likely to change their behaviour when they have children on board, so at least that's a good thing to see. But I think that struck me was in China. 29 people have died and hundreds have been injured in a wave of attacks by giant hornets in central China. Victims have described being chased for hundreds of metres and stung as many as 200 times. Most happen in woods, and one woman is still in hospital after a month. So it's a recurring problem from May to November in this part of China, believe it or not. So it's probably not too late to get a refund on your planned trip to China.
Hornets are huge, aren't they? They're pretty big beasts, yeah.
I see Bob Geldof. There's a lovely photograph of Bob Geldof getting strapped into a flight simulator in Holland. As we know, he's going to be the first Irish man in space. He goes up in a Lynx Mark II shuttle set for 2015. It takes him 103 kilometres into space, and it's costing him 75,000 euros. And yes, unfortunately, he has paid for a return ticket.
That's cruel.
And interesting, if you love your dog, but increasingly find yourself ignoring him in favour of your iPad, there may be an ingenious solution. So there's a school for dogs in New York which charges £30 per hour to teach dogs to use the iPads and smartphones. So how do you train a dog, you might ask? Well, what you can do is that you can encourage them by smearing peanut butter on the iPad screen to encourage the dog to touch it with their nose. So, and they can do even better. They can teach them to take self-portraits. So they claim that, you know, many pet owners now spend so much time on their tablets that they may as well enjoy the company of their dogs while they do so.
Mm-hmm. I think most people's priority would be to keep their dogs and their children off the iPad rather than encourage them to
become
familiar with it, yeah.
I would say the iPad's the greatest babysitter ever invented. But on the serious side too, you could train a guide dog to distinguish between dark and light pairs of socks using an audio app so it can help its owners get dressed. So, but of course, there is, you know, if you can't get to New York, don't worry. There's at least a dozen pet-specific apps on sale and the tablets are ready, so...
Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah.
But I thought, you know, often I've daydream about finding something. So there's a guy, a rail worker in Spain, Madrid. He found $2 million in a wallet. Cleaning
there's
out a train.
There's a lot of money being found from Tom McFeely to the Bangor Council dump to Madrid and the trains.
There is indeed, yeah. You know, as we've seen lately, the study into where the most honest cities are in the world, you know. And I was heartened to see that the MMR jab is at its highest ever. So it's overcome a slump when it was wrongly linked to autism. Mm-hmm. So again, I mean, that was a worry back then. And of course, you know, when stories of that come out, it's quite difficult for, you know, Joe Public to figure out, well, is there a link between something like that? Because, you know, logically you think, okay, is it good for a kid to get so many jabs in one session? And you might think, but again, it's shown, you know, really the onus on research journals and even the media themselves to get stories right because of the damage it can do in long term. And there has been many instances of this in the past. Even years ago, there was one in the United States. There was an early guy who was an advocate for putting babies lying on their backs. But at the time, what you call the US, the guy in charge of the healthcare in the US poo-pooed the story. And for 20 years, really, you know, it was put underground and a lot of babies in that time died because they didn't really take it seriously, the research that was done into, you know, that it's safer for a baby to lie on his back. Really.
Can be huge repercussions, can't there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Okay, and well, Kevin, look, we'll leave it there for now, but thank you very much indeed. And I think just a quick mention on the Dairy Journal.
Just to point out the Dairy Journal, a lot of people this morning